Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. It's a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report here on the Big X Sports Radio. Plenty to get to today. Basketball season drawing close. And speaking of basketball season, I think it looks like tonight Jeffersonville will find out who will lead the Red Devils for this 2019-2020 high school basketball season after the position came open following the resignation of Joe Luce. Looks like that's what's going to happen. Interim coach, permanent coach, who it'll be, I think we'll find out later tonight, or at least after a meeting of the Greater Clark County School Board is what it looks like. We'll see how things play out with that. But obviously it's important for them to get somebody in place. Lots of college coaches have been in Jeffersonville over the last week and a half or so to see some of their key players. Trey Coleman, talked with him earlier this week. He is getting a little closer, maybe to coming up with a decision down the road a bit, but some visits for him in progress and coming up, some coaches that have been in to see him as well. And then you've got Will Lovings Watts and other players as well that college coaches want to get in and see. So not only that, but obviously this is an opportunity to get prepped and ready for the upcoming high school basketball season. I mentioned basketball season is coming. The college season will definitely be here soon with March Madness, with Hoosier Hysteria coming up in really 3 weeks or so. But the high school basketball season, as far as the start, girls get started very early nowadays. Boys will be behind that. It will be here before you know it. So new Jeffersonville coach potentially coming tonight. We'll see. Maybe tomorrow when we join you, we'll know a little bit more about the futures of the Red Devils from coaching staff for this upcoming season. Also, we'll continue to talk IU football throughout the week. I know it's a tough subject right now for a lot of Indiana fans who I think are still hopeful, but definitely were hopeful that the Ohio State game could be a turning point in this season and maybe in this program. And not only was it not close, not competitive, but it's a blowout that probably exposed even more issues with this football team than what we had seen in the opening few weeks of play. The good news is UConn, the opponent this coming Saturday for Indiana, definitely a notch down, multiple notches below a Big Ten opponent, and obviously somebody like Ohio State. So we'll talk IU football, and there's all sorts of recruiting stuff going on. Coaches are going every which way. Visits on campus are happening as well during these football game weekends and other times as well on the weekends. So there's all sorts of recruiting stuff to get to today as well. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Joining us on this Tuesday program, first we'll start with our Hoosier headlines presented by Zaxby's. We'll take a look at some of the recruiting notes. We got a boatload of recruiting things to cover, but some pretty important recruiting things to cover today. We'll do that in the first segment, a couple other headlines as well. Later in the program, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star with me, presented by Coffee Crossing. Want to get Greg's thoughts on IU football after the loss to Ohio State. We'll talk that and more when Greg is with us today. And then later, Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. He's matter of fact. He has all the information. And with all the recruiting stuff going on right now with Archie on the road and players coming to Bloomington for visits and local guys like Trey Kaufman locally, like right here local, and then Christian Lander a little to our west down in Evansville and other guys in the state and beyond, Mike is always the perfect guy to have on as far as learning a little bit more about the recruiting and some of these players for Indiana. So we'll do that. And, of course, IU football with him as well today. And maybe take a look ahead at UConn and an early preview of that game when Mike is with us later today. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at our Hoosier headlines. A summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's, and a number of things to get to. I mentioned at the top of the show, it appears that a new Jeffersonville boys basketball coach, whether interim or permanent, and there are a lot of people that think it's going to be an interim, a one-year deal for whoever it is that is announced tonight. It's expected to be announced or approved, I should say, at the meeting of the Greater Clark County School Board, and perhaps we'll get some sort of press release or identification after the meeting tonight. But that will be something we'll track later tonight, later today. And from an IU basketball perspective, it's such a big deal whenever you hear that a player has decided to take an official visit to Bloomington. Obviously, those of you that went to Indiana, those of you that know the campus, those of you that are there for football or basketball games know it's a special place. I mean, most college campuses are, especially a major college campus like IU. Bloomington's a great setup. But we also know, we talk about this a lot, the passion of IU fans, the reason that radio shows like this exist, because IU fans don't just want to follow the season during the games. They want to follow it year-round. They want to know everything about every recruit, and there's a great part of the fan base that is that way. So when a recruit commits to come to a visit on campus and be around these basketball-crazy fans and these basketball-crazy communities that we have, like Bloomington, they really get a sense, whether they understand Indiana and its history and tradition or not, they get a sense for what IU and what Bloomington will be like if they come as a player for 1 year, 4 years, whatever it may be. So yesterday, it was reported by multiple people that a point guard, which is a key position, I think, in the upcoming recruiting classes, whether it be 2020 or 2021 with Christian Lander, maybe you get one in both classes because Lander's recruitment appears to be a long way from being close to over. But yesterday, Hassan Diarra, he's of New York. He attends or played for PSA Cardinals, which is the same team, I believe, that Thomas Bryant played for, travel program in the Nike EYBL circuit. He's going to take an official visit to Indiana, it's been reported. He's going to go to Georgia this coming weekend, Indiana the following weekend, and then he'll be at Texas A&M in October, October 11th through the 13th. And it's also noted that Georgetown is very involved with him as well. He's a name that's maybe picked up a little more steam over the last few weeks as far as IU recruiting goes. The IU coaches have been to seem. But Hassan Diarra in the class of 2020, another name to pay attention to is Indiana. Based on Archie Miller's comments a few weeks ago when he spoke down in Evansville, this could be a 4- to 6-man class. And currently Indiana has 3 in the fold with their commitment so far. So we'll follow that. Other recruiting notes, lots of interest in Christian Lander down at Evansville Wrights. His recruiting has really taken off. He's had scholarship offers now for some time, not only from Indiana, but from Purdue, Louisville, and others in the Midwestern area as well. Other schools, Kentucky, North Carolina, they've inquired and are recruiting him also. But it looks like he's beginning to shake out some of his plans for visits this fall. He's going to take an official visit to Louisville coming up later this month, September 27th through the 29th. I think that may correlate with Louisville's Live. They call it Louisville Live down at 4th Street Live, where they have a court set up and do a little preseason kickoff. He's going to be in Indiana October 4, 5, and 6th. And, of course, Hoosier Hysteria is on October 5th, which means IU fans will get a great chance to find creative ways to recognize and cheer for Christian Lander at Hoosier Hysteria this year. Then he's going to be at Michigan later in October. October 26, 27, and 28 will be the days that he will visit there. So he's making some officials, again, underclassmen now allowed 5 official visits. Then they can take 5 more. Even if they want to repeat some of those schools all of those schools, in fact, when they become seniors as well. Trey Kaufman was on IU's campus. It was an official visit over the weekend. Everybody buzzing about that. Everybody wanting to know, do the Hoosiers have a legitimate chance to land Trey Kaufman whenever his recruiting does begin to slow down and come to a close. There were some pictures that emerged over the weekend of him out to eat with Archie Miller and of him in Assembly Hall. And there's actually a video from Cardell McFarland, who is his trainer, and it actually has, I don't know, a minute or so, 2 minutes maybe, of Trey playing one-on-one basketball against Trace Jackson Davis and Joey Brunk. And I only watched the first, I don't know, a couple possessions, but he scored against Trace, and then he scored against Joey Brunk. So that tells you, obviously, Trey Kaufman, a junior in high school, is going against Division I players currently and definitely holding his own. So that's interesting to see. That's the sort of stuff that can happen on some of these visits. I'm not clear enough on the rules of unofficial visits. I think it really all has to do with money and who can pay for what. But even on an unofficial visit, I think there can be stuff on the court, workouts and things like that. And you see a guy working with current members of the team, including the 2019 Mr. Basketball and Trace Jackson Davis. It's got to be a good thing for Indiana and to build those relationships and to be on Assembly Hall's court doing that sort of activity, that sort of workout. So I think that's good stuff to see. Trey Kaufman at IU, Trey Kaufman on the court at Assembly Hall, Trey Kaufman working out with Trace Jackson Davis and Joey Brunk, all good signs for Indiana, although his recruitment will last, I would say, a long time moving forward, and there could even be additional schools that get involved with him other than the ones that he currently have scholarship offers from also. A couple other notes to pass along. Dawson Garcia, another interesting name in the 2020 class up in Minnesota. Tom Ostrom is the lead recruiter on him. The staff, including Archie Miller, were there last week when the recruiting period opened. He is going to cut his list very soon. In fact, his list cut is coming later today. He's going to announce a final seven schools that he will consider. And I think that most expect Indiana definitely to make that cut and to be in the final seven. We're not talking about two or three where there's going to be all sorts of schools that get eliminated. We're talking about seven. So I think most people think Indiana will be in that cut as well. Also, the coaches can still be out. Again, lots of flexibility right now for college coaches to get out, travel, and see some of these players. And Indiana coach Archie Miller, he's going to be in New York today at Long Island Lutheran, that is, to see another point guard in the 2020 class, Andre Curbelo, and this will be the second time that Archie Miller has watched Curbelo. So Hassan Diarra sets an official visit to Indiana here in a couple weeks. Back-to-back visits from Archie Miller to see a 2020 point guard in Curbelo up in New York as well. It seems set that Indiana may be targeting a definite commit from a point guard in the 2020 class, regardless what happens the following year with Christian Lander down at Evansville Wrights. I think Indiana's in a good spot. We talked about some last week. How do you determine with these underclassmen, especially if Indiana, if any school's in a good spot with them? But Indiana's done with Lander, done with Kaufman, and others as well. Exactly what they need to do up to this point to sure look like they have a good opportunity down the stretch to be involved. But with a player like Lander and where his recruitment could go and other factors that could come in, you just never know. So maybe having a backup plan a year ahead of time in the 2020 class is probably not a bad idea. Also, a football note as well. It looks like Michael Penix is still day-to-day going into the Connecticut game on Saturday, still questionable for the game. And this comes from IU head coach Tom Allen and his press conference Monday to address the media. Coach Allen coming out, if you watched his press conference yesterday or listened to it, coming out very, very quickly in his opening statement saying he was very, very disappointed in the play of the Hoosiers, obviously, in their blowout loss to Ohio State on Saturday. Still would like to know. I don't think it would mean a terribly much closer game. I don't know that it would mean a win. I don't think it would mean a win for Indiana, but still would like to have seen Penix be healthy and available for that game. And I think Indiana football needs to get him back. A game like Connecticut is a game that he can win, he can be successful, he can build confidence, because he's the type of playmaker that Indiana is going to need for Big Ten conference games moving forward. But it looks like he is still questionable for day-to-day, I think is the right terminology to use for this UConn game coming up here very soon. Couple other notes to pass along here in the first segment. I meant to mention this last week. I did not go to the volleyball game at New Albany, but I saw pictures of it. New Albany and Floyd Central last week. It was a great match. New Albany, I think, won in five sets. And it was an unbelievable crowd. And I think the only one side of the gymnasium, the bleachers are out for volleyball games at New Albany, but it was basically full, and that's a huge section of bleachers at New Albany. And I think that kind of underscores, I mean, Providence has great crowds, a great following with the state championship level success that they've had now for many years. Volleyball in this area is very good. There are a number of programs that are strong, a number of programs that have made runs in the state tournament in recent years, and I think it is just fantastic to see a great turnout like that on a weeknight for a high school volleyball game. Tonight, Jeffersonville and New Albany play in a big matchup. I believe that game is at New Albany tonight, but another rivalry game. New Albany's been playing well, won a tournament at Bedford over the weekend. Then they host their rival Jeffersonville last week after defeating other rival Floyd Central last week. But volleyball, still very good, still very strong in the area. And speaking of high school sports, obviously getting ready for week five. We are to the halfway point of high school football this week. Jeffersonville at Floyd Central. That's our Southern Indiana game of the week on our Friday night coverage. Also, Providence at Charlestown could be a good game. This is a tough one for New Albany. They host Columbus East. I don't see that going good for the Bulldogs. Silver Creek at Scottsburg, no problem looking at that one. Even Silver Creek missing their starting quarterback and seeing the Dragons improve to 5-0 on the season. And you got to get excited if you're a Silver Creek fan thinking about an upcoming, I think it's 2 weeks down the road, an upcoming matchup in the Mid-Southern Conference, Silver Creek and Brownstown coming up a few weeks from now. That will be a huge game, likely for the conference championship. Should be a great environment, great crowd, and let's hope that the quarterback Dylan Myers is back healthy, and I think he's supposed to be, according to what I've heard, for Silver Creek, but that will be a big one as well. But Silver Creek this week should have no problems at Scottsburg. Salem is at Clarksville. Don't know a lot about Salem. Could the Generals maybe get their second win of the season? And Rock Creek, they host Jacksonville Community. That's a look at week five on Friday night. Don't forget our coverage on Friday night. We'll have our play-by-play person at Jeff Floyd Central. We'll have call-in reports and updates from other games as well. Constant scoreboard updates and highlights to keep you posted with everything going on in the area. Southern Indiana Football Fridays on the Big X. It begins at 6 o'clock. In the kickoff show this week, we'll be featuring Jeffersonville at Floyd Central. We'll hear from both head coaches just before the game, so make sure you join us Friday night for basically 5-plus hours of local sports and high school football coverage here on the Big X Sports Radio. That's a look at the headlines for this Tuesday edition of the program. The headlines are presented by Zaxby's. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing, IU football on the agenda, and more after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach, who got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, always with the program on Tuesdays. This segment is presented by Coffee Crossing. And Greg, once again, a disappointing result for Indiana football. There was hope with Michael Penix, who ended up not playing, that maybe this could be the year Indiana was close, competitive, and actually finished the deal against Ohio State. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Indiana, outside of the first quarter of that game, really not competitive as the Hoosiers fall and fall in a big way to Ohio State.
A state team that you think is, you know, going to run the table and be playing for the playing in the playoffs at the end. I mean, they might, but they've got a new coach, new quarterback. If they were ever going to be ripe for the picking, or at least ripe for the competing, this is the day. Granted, Tennis didn't play, but IU wasn't just playing nobody. Peyton Ramsey, had he started this year and next year, after 2 years, he was on pace to break almost every passing record in the books at IU. I mean, that's not a normal backup quarterback. It's got a lot of experience and a lot of quality, but they had nothing for Ohio State, and that's really disappointing. IU's upgraded the roster on paper anyway, but we're not seeing results.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. I think Indiana fans, Indiana football fans are wondering, when are things going to change in this program? We hear good news about coaches. We hear good news about some additions to the roster, the recruiting. If you look at the rankings and the stars that they assign these players, it seems to be going pretty good for Indiana. But still, there are disappointing moments on the field, it seems like, season after season. Is Indiana football, Greg, ever going to be able to turn the program under Coach Allen, or ever at all? Is it just a program that has so many troubles and so many battles to fight that can it ever become a reasonably competitive year in, year out, small to medium sized bowl game contender?
Yeah, you look at Duke. If Duke can get it done, and I'm sure there's other examples too, but if Duke can get it done, then absolutely IU can. You're talking about a pure basketball school, little bitty stadium, not much to look at, and actually better academics than IU. IU academics are fine, but Duke has different standards. And with the right coach, you know, whether it's Steve Spurrier or David Cutcliffe, Duke is good. With the wrong coach, they're absolutely abysmal. To IU's credit, they don't hit the Duke levels of bad, but they're not at the Duke levels of good, too. So it is possible. It all comes down to the coach, all right? I mean, it all comes down to the coach, and I don't think Allen's been there long enough to say for sure he's not the right coach, but Lord knows in 2.5 years he hasn't shown us that he is.
He's sure fiery. I saw a national, I don't even know, I opened up my internet browser, MSN or whatever automatically loads. It wasn't even really a sports site. Picked up somehow on a video clip. I don't know, maybe it was on TV. I didn't watch the game live. I watched it recorded and buzzed through a lot of the pregame and the commercials and things like that. But, and of course, there were some ugly moments where you just wanted to buzz through the game clock as well. But there was a fiery speech that was picked up by one of these national news networks. And I don't know if they got it from TV or what, but I mean, the guy appears to be a motivator. The guy appears to be very organized. The guy appears to have a plan each and every season. It's just interesting. And then you get Michael Penix, and I know you were bragging on Peyton Ramsey a little earlier and what he had accomplished last year, but you get Michael Penix who, again, I don't know a ton about football, but he's sure exciting to watch at the QB position. And then he doesn't play, not able to play on Saturday, and is now questionable day-to-day moving forward to the UConn game. Just seems like a lot of disappointment end over end, year after year, really game after game for IU football. And I guess you can carry that over to Purdue as well. They're 1-2 on the year. Disappointing loss to Nevada to begin the season. Then this past weekend, they lost to TCU 34-13. So football, college football, Big Ten football in our state, not doing very good right now.
Yeah, you look at track records, and really Tom Allen doesn't have one. So we're kind of learning, you know, who is he, what is he as a coach? We have no idea. We know a defense coordinator, how he's done, but head coach, we don't know. Brohm at least has a track record, both at Western Kentucky and even at Purdue last year, where they did really well at times and beat Ohio State, of course. So with Brohm, there's reason to think there's something there. And the reason not just to think it, but believe it, I do believe there's something there. I think Purdue will, as good as they can be, they're going to be that with Brohm eventually. With IU, we just don't know yet. We don't know yet, but we do know that Fred Glass has a history of standing by his coaches, whether it's Kevin Wilson or Tom Crean. He believes, he tells us, he says, I believe in continuity. So he will, unless he has a massive change of heart, Fred Glass will never err on the side of not giving a guy enough time. He's going to make a mistake. It's going to be giving a guy too much time. And Tom Allen, you know, 2.5 years in, is not anywhere near the, is he had too much time yet? No, he needs another you know, at least another year or two for Fred Glass to have an idea.
Talking with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, this segment presented by Coffee Crossing. Speaking of Purdue football, 1-2 record, that Nevada loss to start the year was crazy. We've already talked about that. But a little bit of a heightened interest, I think, in Boilermaker football. You've got IU fans here, or excuse me, you've got Purdue fans here in southern Indiana in our area, but you also have a lot of people following Purdue because of Rondale Moore. Surprised at a 1-2 start? Surprised at a couple performances by this team so far this season? Or did you expect they might have some trouble early on or this season in general?
Well, if you told me in the preseason they're going to be 1-2, I'd tell you I'm very surprised by that. But if you told me why, you know, they're going to just make a dreadful mistake at Nevada and really kind of just cough up a lead, and then they're going to be playing Jack Plummer at TCU, I mean, that is no place to start. Or against TCU, that is no. I mean, Patterson is. I mean, he's a defensive guy. I mean, he's really good. So anyway, Plummer had almost no chance in that game. So in hindsight, you can see why they'd lose that game because you don't have Sindelar. So and Sindelar was leading the country in passing until that. That's why I say there's something there with Purdue. There's no. Like with IU, you can hope they're going to be better. You can hope it, but you don't really know why you're hoping it. You just kind of do because you're an IU fan. That's great. With Purdue, you can actually kind of believe there's something more there.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, our guest. And, Greg, want to get to some other things, but first, kind of a neat thing. We don't talk a lot of Colts either on this program, but I do want to talk a little Colts today for a couple reasons. But first, a positive subject that you've been covering here recently. The Colts are donating, and I'm looking at your Twitter feed as we're talking and looking at some photos and some things you tweeted out. The Colts are donating a first-class football field. I believe it's a full field at one of the Indianapolis public schools, and it's not a high school, I don't believe, is it? You were there yesterday to kind of cover a good community feel-good story, and tell us more about it.
Yeah, actually, that's a playground for recess at an IPS school.
And
playground. It was an outside classroom they built, and it just wasn't just donating, although it was. They built it by hand, and they had a lot of support from the community. There was probably 200 just regular folks out there helping the Colts, and there's maybe a dozen Colts that came in different waves. And they're coming, you know, on a Monday after a road game. The previous week, they've been in another IPS school. The Monday after an all-night, you know, red-eye flight, but they flew back all the way from L.A. after a loss. The next day, Monday, they're at an IPS school giving away 300 backpacks full of clothes and toothpaste, toothbrush. And IPS schools, if you don't know, it's in Indiana. IPS, that's the urban, that's the really poor, really hard-struggling public schools in our city. And the kids need all the help they can get. The Colts, they have a thing called Community Monday. So every Monday they go out in the community and do various things. And this is the thing they did yesterday. And to see guys like Quentin Nelson, an all-pro guard, just dripping in sweat. I mean, he's not there for a photo op. He's there working. And they're all there working. Kenny Moore and Matthew Adams and George Odom and more and more. Jack Doyle, Marcus Hunt, more and more and more. Chad Kelly, the infamous backup quarterback, he was out there helping. So it's good to watch. It's good to watch them do that sort of thing. That's why this city – one of the reasons the city, they love the Colts and the Pacers, but they love the Colts like a lot of cities love their college football program. The Colts have that kind of affection around here.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, the segment presented by Coffee Crossing. Adam Vinatieri, another big talking point right now when you think of Colts football. And you mentioned before we came on the air that he's supposed to speak, I think, today at noon, right when we go off the air. Isn't that right?
Yeah, this whole thing's a mystery. He is speaking at noon. He's been bad for two games. And really kind of bad 2-3 games dating to last year. So he's got a 4 or 5 game stretch where he's missed a lot of kicks. And after the game yesterday, Sunday, he did something he never does. He didn't talk to the media, but said, I'll talk to you guys Monday. And he was told by one of the reporters there, you guys don't talk on Mondays. And he said, I will. Which makes everybody wonder, are you retiring? And we don't know, but that's the way it looked. It looks like he's now changed his mind. He's not retiring. He's going to talk to the media about why is he slumping. We're about to find out.
Interesting. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, this segment presented by Coffee Crossing. I'm not sure if you've had a chance to see this or not. This is kind of another feel-good topic. I really like it. It's gotten a lot of publicity as well, but Virginia coach Tony Bennett, obviously national championship coach Tony Bennett, the school put out a statement, said he's, quote, not driven by financial reward. He has a $4.15 million contract plus additional incentives, and he's giving some of his raise or wanted the school to return his raise to the assistant coaches, not to him. And I think he also wanted to see it go to another non-basketball program at the school. Just something you don't see every day. It's always this coach, national championship, got this sort of raise. Here's what he's making. Wow, that's unbelievable. Not often you step back and see a coach want to return the money to the hardworking assistant coaches and the other people on the staff that might get a little bit of a bump when you have some great success and win a national championship, but not near the type of additional money he was going to land for the national championship bonus.
Yeah, and when it's Tony Bennett, then there's a lot of coaches that you'd say, I'm not surprised that guy did it, but Tony Bennett behind that list of guys you'd say, well, if someone's going to do this, it's going to be Tony Bennett. I'm not surprised it was him. You know, he's a great, great guy. He's a great guy who's always felt like and behaved in a way that it's not all about basketball. It's about leadership and developing young men and doing things like what he just did there. So cannot say at all I'm surprised that when you tell me Tony Bennett's the one to do it, okay, he's been on the short list of guys to do it.
And Tony Bennett was supposed to make a trip last week when the recruiting period opened to Southern Indiana to watch Trey Kaufman at Silver Creek. Coach Hoffman telling us last week that trip's been delayed a little bit because of a schedule conflict, but he still plans to get to Silver Creek for a preseason workout or practice coming up very soon. So Coach Bennett trying to use that national championship to come into the Hoosier State, and of course Trey Kaufman getting all sorts of interest. But Greg, great to catch up with you. Always enjoy it. You're headed, I'm sure, to the Vinatieri media availability or press conference coming up, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I'm driving there right now, and yeah, Tony Bennett has established himself as one of those guys. It's hard to say no to. It used to be, and it kind of still is, Coach K, but Coach K, you don't say no to him if you're a lottery pick. With Kaufman's not. So if you're a 3 or 4 year guy, it's hard to say no to Tony Bennett. I mean, you're going to get the best education you can get at Virginia, and you're going to play for that guy, and they win huge also. It used to be a little bit of a stigma. Do you want to go somewhere? They play so much hard. The defense is blah, 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 blah. Yeah, well, it's okay to win 30 games and win national championships. So it's going to be hard. You know, if Kaufman ends up in Virginia, how could you think? Oh, I didn't see that coming.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, this segment presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg, as always, thanks for the time, and we'll talk with you next week.
Yeah, Matt. Thanks. Bye.
Just a reminder that yesterday we announced our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week, presented by Serdano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg. Winkers Wright of Floyd Central, who actually joined us yesterday on the program. If you didn't get a chance to hear him, you can catch it on podcast. But he was our winner for the second time already, and we're just now approaching the halfway mark of the 2019 high school football season. But he had a huge performance, 362 yards, I believe it was, 5 touchdowns to lead the Highlanders to 50 unanswered points against their rival Bulldogs of New Albany, as Floyd Central would recover not only to take the lead, but to go on to win in a very big way. Winkers Wright, our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week for the second time this football season. Undeniable performance out there this past week for him to capture this award for multiple times now this season. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back and talk a lot about recruiting, a little more IU football as well with Mike Pegram of Peaks.com. This is something pretty standard this time of year. There's so much recruiting activity with visits to Bloomington and visits on a lot of college campuses, obviously, but also the coaches out on the road. And Archie Miller is expected to be out on the road today at Long Island in New York to watch Andre Curbelo, another 2020 point guard. So we'll learn a little bit more about some of these guys as we do each week with Mike. We'll talk some IU football and a lot more coming up on this Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Tuesday program. Mike Pegram of Peaks.com with us Tuesdays as we talk the latest in IU basketball, football, and recruiting as well. And I want to start, as you would expect, Mike, this time of year with lots of recruiting activity. With that subject, it came out yesterday that IU basketball looks like it's going to get an official visit from a 2020 point guard in Hassan Diarra of New York, who it looks like not this weekend but the following weekend is going to be in Bloomington for a visit with the IU coaches.
Yeah, that's somebody they've been involved with for a while. I went to see maybe last week. I know out in New York, Bruce Flint's been on him for quite a bit of time, and just really solid overall point guard, pure point guard, guards the ball really well, improving shooter. You know, it's pretty proven on the EYBL and other events. So makes a lot of sense that Indiana needs some ball handling depth behind Robert Phinisee. So it's an addition that makes a lot of sense to add a point guard with that last scholarship or two that they may use for this 2020 class.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. Let's continue along point guards in the 2020 class. I saw a tweet that said Archie Miller would be in Long Island today to watch Andre Curbelo, which is a much newer name than Hassan that has developed in the 2020 class. Indiana clearly beginning to focus in on a point guard in this class between Diarra and Curbelo. What do you know about Curbelo? Have you seen him? And between the two, obviously, longevity counts a lot of times in recruiting, so Indiana would have a little more longevity with Hassan Diarra. Curbelo seems to be a much newer name. Why do you think the target for a point guard? Is it because there maybe is concern that Christian Lander in the class behind 2020 could not be a lock for Indiana? And I'm not sure he's a lock for anywhere right now, since recruiting is really just beginning to take hold and expand some. Do you think this is more of a, I don't want to call it a backup plan early, but making sure that you've got someone at that position in case the Lander situation doesn't play out in IU's favor when he gets ready to narrow his list and eventually make a decision?
No, that's not really my outlook, Matt. I view it as what happens if Robert Phinisee goes down. Gets into foul trouble? Who handles the ball for Indiana this year? That's the case. And next year, especially with Devontae Green graduating, who handles the ball if Robert gets hurt or is out of the game? You cannot just survive without a true point guard in this game. So that's why I believe they're looking to find some ball handling depth. Even if they do have Christian Lander, there'll be the issue down the road. What happens if he would be hurt or he would get into foul trouble? They need somebody there at that position. So it's not like they're going after five-star players here, a point guard that'll, potentially scare away Christian Lander. As far as Curbelo, I saw him play out in Dallas in April, and he stood out to me right away without knowing that Indiana was going to be involved. He's gear five, just plays really, really hard and really runs the team. I think may have led one of the sessions in assists. Not a good shooter. Could be an issue given that Indiana's shooting overall as a team is still, I think, a big question mark. But the depth of ball handling is such an important thing to have. I can understand why they're looking at him. I think they've actually been in touch with him for several months. It's not really it may be a new name for us, but it's not a new name for the staff. And Indiana's interest is nothing new to Curbelo.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. Don't forget, a lot of the names that we talk about on this segment each week, Mike and Jeff and the staff at the Pegs.com website are writing about. If you're a subscriber, you can find out and read those stories at Pegs.com. Got to ask about last weekend. I know the football game, and we'll get to football here in a minute. I know the football game didn't go well on the field, but it was a big opportunity to host Trey Kaufman. There have been some photos that emerged, even a video of him playing a little one-on-one basketball in Assembly Hall against Trace Jackson Davis and also Joey Brunk. Any word on how the visit went? Have you seen anyone that has spoke with Trey to get any comments or a feel for how his time in Bloomington was over the weekend?
Yeah, we have a story today with comments from him and on the visit, and it's done is very positive. I think a fall visit before formal practice starts has a lot of positives in that you can kind of do some open gym stuff with some of the players, individual kind of stuff. You able to watch the like the four-man workouts that they often do with, for him, and maybe seeing how things go with Trace, Jackson Davis, and those short, maybe with Joey Bronco. They showed some video of him actually doing some one-on-one stuff with those two guys. It was also, I think, a chance to get to know the academic opportunities at Indiana. And also, I think Indiana took the opportunity to show him how he would fit in their offense and how they view him if he would come to Indiana, as what kind of role he would play, what kind of position. And so that's positive, just building that relationship. I think he also got a chance to see Indiana campus in a great week, great weather weekend, and get a feel for how beautiful it can be at this time of year.
When you look to the junior class in Indiana, locally, Trey Kaufman, not too far to the west, Christian Lander, some good players up north as well for Indiana. As you see this thing materialize, and there's still a lot to happen over the course of this high school season, still some opportunities for visits, unofficial visits for those maybe that have already taken official visits or have official visits scheduled for games and other things like that. But is it too early to see how IU is prioritizing the 2021 class, the junior class in Indiana? It seems like you put Kaufman, you put Lander, you put First, you put the player from South, Wesley from South Bend Riley, almost forgot his name. There's a lot of very unique prospects in this group that, as of right now, I don't know that you could put one ahead of the other unless you start breaking down maybe positional needs, or you start doing a deep dive into recruiting and wondering who you have the potential to be recruited by some of the higher programs, the North Carolinas and others that could get involved with Christian Lander perhaps. But no real priority I sense right now other than keeping all those players in the in-state 2021 class pretty close to Bloomington as much as they can.
Yeah, I've been telling people this is a class that may make or break the staff. They have to land a good portion of these guys potentially. I mean, who knows who develops from the current roster, but there's an upgrade in talent that Indiana has to find, and this is they're having a little bit of struggle to get a really good player. I'm talking about a top 50 and up player outside the Indiana area, and if the luck is turning their way in state with this 21 class, I think at least three top 50 players, maybe four, because Blake Wesley is really coming on. And Luke Goody's actually a really good player with IU ties, who's got several Big Ten offers already, too. And so landing, I would say, three of those players would make a huge difference for the talent level and for Indiana getting back over the hump and be a true Big Ten title contender for several years in a row.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, IU basketball recruiting to start the segment. Let's get into a little IU football. Obviously, it wasn't a good picture for IU football in their game against Ohio State. Penix out, and really outside of the first quarter, it wasn't a competitive game. What did you take away from Monday's press conference with Coach Allen? As you would expect, he clearly was upset, clearly was disappointed in the play of his team. He made that very clear to the media in attendance right out of the gate in his opening comments.
Yeah, it wasn't good. I mean, Indiana, this is a pretty good Ohio State team. I think better than they have been for the last couple of years. A little bit cleaner team overall. And Indiana was not up for that challenge. They have been competitive with Ohio State at least for three quarters, recent games, but this was a mismatch from the very first quarter, for the very first couple possessions. Indiana was not ready to play. And there was a story coming out this morning about how the defense, it wasn't just attacking, players were not in the right spots, so they weren't aware of what the responsibilities they had on the play. Just a total breakdown mentally on the field for Indiana, and score could have been worse, and they have to fix it. I mean, Ohio State is by far, I think, the best team in the Big Ten this year. I think that'll prove out unless another team really comes on. And so that's the good news for Indiana. Now the other teams on their schedule look, unbeatable like Ohio State has been.
I know it's easy to get down when a team you follow, a team you cheer for, not only loses a potential big turning point type game, but gets smacked around pretty good. And that's what happened to Indiana on Saturday. I still get the feeling from most that follow this, and you said some comments that lead into that, that Ohio State is the toughest on the schedule. Yes, there will be other challenges to come, but this is still an Indiana team, even if they got waxed on Saturday, that can come back and have the potential, we think, to reach a bowl game and to have a competitive season the rest of the way. And so we look at UConn next because that's the bounce-back game. And can you tell us a little bit about the UConn team early on in this week as the Hoosiers prepare to hopefully get things back on track?
Well, Indiana should be a clear favorite, but UConn did play Illinois really tough. Illinois did prevail, but Indiana is definitely a clear favorite in a game that they should win if they play up to par. That would be a third victory, and this program is at a point where just getting six wins in a bowl for a couple years in a row is that very first step. And then can they build on it? Last time it happened, they had an unexpected coaching change, and so they took a little bit of a step back. And now they have to get back to six wins, and then they can get there. I mean, they have three if they win on Saturday, and then, Rutgers, Purdue, Northwestern, and Maryland are all teams that, you think that they could be able to beat, and if they just get three of those four, then they would have it's a six wins to go somewhere.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, our guest, IU basketball recruiting, IU football, and I want to talk for a moment about Hoosier Hysteria, which is forthcoming October 5th. We're getting closer. Looks like that, in getting back to recruiting for a second, it looks like that's going to be the weekend that Christian Lander will be on campus for his junior official visit to Bloomington. I expect that between now and then, on Tuesdays and really various days, we'll have lots of notes and lots of updates as far as players, some that are obvious candidates to be at Hoosier Hysteria as recruiting visitors, whether it be official or unofficial, and even maybe some younger players that we don't hear a lot about, don't know a lot about right now. I expect that it'll be jam-packed that day from an IU recruiting perspective as you think ahead to October 5th and Hoosier Hysteria.
Yeah, it's been a key recruiting weekend with a lot of prospects over the years, and it will again. It is interesting that it looks like it'll be Lander and right now nobody else of at least a 2020 prospect of coming in. It could possibly be Dawson Garcia, who's not set his visits and who definitely high up on the radar for Indiana, maybe the top guy right now on the 2020 class. But for now, it's going to be definitely, and Christian Lander is really important for the reasons we mentioned. Point guard is such a key part, and they need more than just Christian, really. So they got to get him.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, with us Tuesdays. Mike, as always, thanks for the chat.
All right, Matt. We'll talk to you next week. Take care.
That's going to wrap things up for this Tuesday edition of the program. Don't forget high school football coming your way Friday night. We have Southern Indiana Football Fridays. We'll be focusing in on Floyd Central and Jeffersonville, another rivalry game. In fact, 3 weeks in a row we've had rivalry games here on the Big X, and we'll have that one for you in week 5 of high school football. We'll have access to some other games as well. We'll have call-in reports from games that we don't have play-by-play from, and I'll be in studio anchoring all the coverage with regular scoreboard updates and highlights from across the area. We'll have call-in reports for those games that we don't have covered. Just kind of like a red zone on the radio feel is what we try to bring you on Friday nights with high school football. The kickoff show starts tonight at 6 o'clock. Our play-by-play coverage, Southern Indiana Football Fridays, begins at 7. And then when it's all said and done, the Southern Indiana Scoreboard Show, presented by Extremnasium, will be with you here on the Big X. So with interviews and scores and highlights, we get to chat with the victorious coaches and some media members. So if you haven't been joining us for the first 4 weeks, make plans to be with us Friday for week 5 of high school football, whether you're at a game and you got your earbud in tuning in, or whether you're not at a game and using us to get updates and highlights from across the area. No matter what, we'd love to have you with us for our coverage this weekend. Also, don't forget you can podcast the Hoosier Report if you can't listen live at 11 o'clock or the replay at 3 o'clock most days here on the Big X Sports Radio. You can find us on Apple Podcasts. Just search the Hoosier Report and you can subscribe to have us delivered each afternoon on your iPhone, your iPad, however you listen to podcasts. And you can also, if you kindly would, leave us a rating or a review. That'll help us connect with others that might be interested in a radio show and a podcast about IU sports and about things here locally in Southern Indiana as well. Also, we're on SoundCloud. That's soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. We'll be back on Wednesday. Lots of great guests. Always plenty to cover. And we hope that you can join us at 11 o'clock right here on the Big X Sports Radio. Have a great Tuesday. I'll talk with you tomorrow. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.